Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. After yesterday's show, a listener emailed us with the question, what is the difference between Hillary Clinton and Rudolph Giuliani? To which we came up with the answer. Question, what is the difference between Hillary Clinton and Rudolph Giuliani? Answer, he will occasionally wear a dress. That's the answer to the question, what's the difference between Hillary and Rudy? Well, occasionally he'll dress up in a dress. She won't, right? Just slacks. Okay, I got another email here from a Christian pro-life leader that I'm not going to tell you who sent this email, okay? Because there's still some pretty neat things going on with this, and I don't want to spoil it. But it's from one Christian pro-life leader who wrote, I just finished watching Bob Enyart's Focus on the Strategy DVD, and then in all caps, awesome. This is a pro-life organization in another state with a national influence and outreach. I just finished watching Bob Enyart's Focus on the Strategy DVD, awesome, 2 exclamation marks. Imagine if all our Christian leaders understood this talk and took it to heart, what a difference we would see. I am overnighting this DVD too, and then I'm leaving out that name because that name is a pro-life leader that virtually every pro-lifer in the country would know. And so I don't want to interfere in that by jumping the gun and being too excited. But it is exciting as pro-life Christians are learning around the country about the moral high ground being taken by pro-life Christians in Colorado. Colorado is where legalized abortion began 40 years ago in April, began here in 1967. And it very well may be that Colorado is the point of the spear redirecting the pro-life community, providing the renewed vision, the renewed commitment to God's enduring command, do not murder, to be able to eventually stop the killing. So that is going to be fascinating. Okay, now, oh, by the way, we told you that we would give you the final tally on the telethon. And here it is. Our goal was to raise $25,000 in February. And we raised $30,487. So $30,500. That's 122% of our goal. And that's all thanks to you out there, those of you who can hear this radio show and who listen on the internet at our website at kgov.com. Thank you all so very much. That includes people giving from 26 different states to keep one Christian radio show on one station in one state. And that's because obviously there are many people who can see the value in Bob Enyart Live, and it's humbling and it's an honor. So thank you all very much. We got another email from a listener up north in Colorado, and he says, hey, Bob, these British scientists must be reading Dr. Walt Brown's book in the beginning. Because it turns out this is an article. This is so cool. This comes from England, and British scientists have embarked on a mission to study a huge chunk of the Atlantic seabed where the Earth's crust is mysteriously missing. And that sounds just like Dr. Walt Brown's hydroplate theory. When the crust of the Earth cracked, then the water from 10 miles below began to erode, and the basalt floor, the mantle, began to push up as the Atlantic eroded away, the crust over the Atlantic Ocean. And so this article is pretty fascinating. They say there's three huge chunks, two that they've identified. They think there's a third in the Atlantic where the mantle of the Earth is exposed. And the scientists are so excited about that, and they're going to study this, and they have a special robot to go down deep under the surface of the ocean and to attach itself to the floor, the ocean floor, and then drill into the mantle. So, of course, that's exciting. And we appreciate John for sending that to our attention. We forwarded that to Walt Brown, but I imagine he had about 100 people forward the same article to him. Okay, then we have, oh boy, you know how I've told you the story? I've told you the story for 15 years on the air that in Republican primary seasons, you know what happens year after year, especially on four-year cycles? Our guy usually finds religion. He finds God. And so today on citizenlink.org, their website, the political activist website of Focus on the Family, and today on Dr. Dobson's radio show, today and tomorrow, Newt Gingrich is on, and guess what happened? Now, Newt Gingrich wants to run for president, but, you know, he's been a bit, well, a bit unchristian in his behavior, and of course, he's a humanist, a legal positivist. His wife, I don't follow his life carefully, but remember his wife had cancer. She's in the hospital. She's in the hospital with cancer, and he chooses that to be the time when he leaves her for another woman. Remember all that from Newt's life? I seem to recall Newt writing some tawdry B novel. That's Newt Gingrich. Well, anyway, Newt has been saying that he's thinking about running for president. He committed adultery, and you know, King David committed adultery. Peter, the Apostle Peter, denied Christ. But humbly repenting before God, that makes all the difference in the world. Repenting for a primary season, that's something altogether different. And that's manipulative of Christians who are gullible. And so what you have is campaign conversions. And you have primary repentance. So Newt Gingrich is on Dr. Dobson's radio show telling the country that, actually read that like this, telling Republican primary voters that he has gotten on his knees and sought God's forgiveness for his own sin. And hey, that's a great thing to do, right? Except that time and time and time again, Christians are duped by candidates finding God during the primary season. And so here it is now with Newt Gingrich. It happened with George W. Bush. He became a Christian so that he could be the point man for his father's presidential campaign with evangelicals. You know that story, right? We interviewed Paul Kengor, who wrote two classic books, God and Ronald Reagan, and God and George W. Bush. And he likes these guys. I love Ronald Reagan. I think he was far more true. And George W. Bush is far more manipulative of Christians than Reagan. But you could go back on our website, kgov.com, search for that interview I did with Paul Kengor, author of God and George W. Bush, and just listen to the story of George W. Bush's conversion. How Billy Graham led him to the Lord because his father was blowing it with evangelicals. His father wanted to be president. So he met with leading evangelicals and they asked him the famous question, what if you were to die tonight? Where would you go? And his answer to Christian fundamentalist leaders was, well, I think I'm a pretty good person, so I think I'd go to heaven. And that caused a virtual meltdown in the meeting because evangelicals recognize that as make-believe Christianity. It's not real. So they go to Kennebunkport, Maine. Billy Graham flies in, has a talk with George W. Bush, And George W. Bush learns all the talking points, basically what you say to evangelicals so they won't get mad at you and oppose you. And he attends church in Houston at the United Methodist Church, where they're pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, pro-evolution, and the United Methodist Church nationwide pretty much denies the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So they go to Washington, D.C., and they go to Foundry United Methodist. That's Hillary's church. So how many times do we have to be duped by our own Christian leaders helping us in the dupe process? So here's Newt on his knees before the God of the primary, bowing to the lever in the voting booth. And are we going to be deceived again? You bet we are. Now we have a caller from Denver, Alan from Denver, and he's calling about the little 5-second clip we aired the last couple days from Laura Ingraham's national radio show when she had Bill Kristol on of the Weekly Standard. And I'll let you hear that clip before we get to Alan. And here's what it was about. Laura Ingraham was upset with Rudy Giuliani because he's a front runner for the Republicans for this primary season for a presidential candidate. And she's upset because he's against handguns. He supports homosexual marriage, of all things. And he even supports partial birth abortion. So she's upset. This conservative leader, Bill Kristol, comes on, K-R-I-S-T-O-L, the Weekly Standard, and he just blows in her ear. And now she feels better. In 10 minutes, she feels better about the state of the leaders of the Republican Party. All he had to do was blow in her ear. So before we get to Alan, could we hear that clip again?
Well, you made me feel better. Bill Kristol.
Yeah, I do my best. This is my role in life.
That's his role in life, to blow in her ear and to feel better. So I'm glad that Alan, welcome to Bob and You're Live.
Hey, Bob.
I'm glad you called in, Alan, because I don't have the copyright permission to play that whole 11-minute segment, but my call screener tells me that you listened to her show, that segment.
Yeah, I listened to the whole thing, and before she got him on the line, she was just lamenting of how the candidates were liberal, and there was no good Republican candidates.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And,
so
and Bill Kristol put in his blog that he was optimistic about the candidates. And
yeah, he thought the Republicans had a really great slate of candidates. And so he's feeling really good about our position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Rudy Giuliani is, the natural front runner. And the Reverend Flip Benham, you recognize that name, Alan?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the director of Operation Save America, nationally known pro-life leader. And back during the last Republican National Convention, he wrote something that was eerily predictive. What he wrote was, he said, look at the primetime speakers, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Rudy Giuliani, Christy Todd Whitman of New Jersey. I forget if that was the last convention or before. He listed a handful of them. He said, all the primetime speakers are pro-abortion, all of them. So
yeah.
This is where the Republican Party is going when the supposed Christian pro-life leaders make heroes out of pro-aborts. They are destroying the hopes of another generation of children.
Mm-hmm.
And he was right. And so now we're stuck with primary conversions. And, and the governor of Massachusetts, one of the most liberal places in the world, who supposedly is on fire conservative now and pro-life.
Yeah, I think they even had maybe it was Bill Bennett, but they had a Romney saying that he was supported abortion as early as 2002 or 2003.
Yeah, and it's just like Ronald Reagan was running for president, and he needed some liberal Republican to choose as a running mate because it's a game. It's not people's lives and truth and justice. It's a game. It is a game. It's presented on talk radio by Republicans and conservatives and Christians as a game. So it's a game, and in a game, you try to get more points than the other guy. Just stay within the rules, not God's rules, just the rules of the game, and you try to win.
Yeah.
And so Ronald Reagan is popular, but he needs a liberal to run as his vice presidential running mate, so he chooses George Bush Sr., who is pro-abortion, along with his wife, along with his family. They're pro-abort liberals. But George Bush Sr. had a conversion to get into presidential politics, and suddenly he said, I'm pro-life. I'm now pro-life. Well, that was a lie. He's not pro-life. But he was pro-life so that Ronald Reagan had a running mate who's pro-life. He won. And the number one issue people were voting on, the number one as compared to foreign policy, taxes, crime, the number one issue was abortion. Number one issue. And then George Bush Sr., it runs for the presidency, and he wins, and he's, what, pro-life? He gave $1 billion to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which uses that money to promote the liberal agenda, abortion, homosexuality, and evolution. And so then George W. Bush runs for the presidency, and his wife, everybody thinks, well, how about his wife? Is she must be, oh, she's pro-life. And we went on the air and said his own conversion was political. It was so he could be the point man for his father's presidential campaign with the evangelicals. And now George W. Bush, his wife, she's a pro-abort. Can't anybody tell by the way she talks? She's being coy. She doesn't want to tell anyone because her husband is manipulating Christians. So as soon as George W. Bush won the presidential election, within days, she was asked about abortion, and she said, oh, I'm pro-choice. As clear as could be. As clear as could be. So the Bush women are not needing the votes in the primaries, so they're a bit more honest. They're pro-aborts. They're pro-aborts. And now we have Newt, and Newt's on his knees asking God for forgiveness. Doesn't it warm the cockles of your heart?
No.
No, it doesn't, huh? All right, so Alan, I'm sorry you called and I talked too much, but I'm not misrepresenting that Laura Ingraham segment.
No, it was about what you said it was.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your call.
All right.
May God bless you. I appreciate that. So now we have Newt, who is a primary conversion candidate. A primary conversion candidate, right? It's primarily repenting. It's campaign conversion. It's primary repentance. This is from Focus on the Family's website. Newt Gingrich tells Dr. Dobson he's, quote, sought God's forgiveness, unquote. This is perfect timing because remember what just happened in February? According to the New York Times, a group of influential Christian conservatives met at a Florida resort this month, February, dissatisfied with the Republican presidential field and uncertain where to turn. The event was a meeting of the Council for National Policy, a secretive club whose few hundred members include Dr. James C. Dobson of Focus on the Family, the Reverend Jerry Falwell of Liberty University, and Grover Norquist of Americans for Tax Reform. And you can't find out about those meetings in advance because they're secret. And they plan them, and you need a special pass identifying you, a VIP badge to get in, and then you're there. And so they held a meeting back, 6 years ago maybe. And it was in Chicago, and I got an invitation, surprisingly. And I went, and it was so disturbing. So utterly disturbing. There was one bright spot in the whole event, and it was the wife, the widow of Reggie White. She was extraordinary. Do you remember he became a sports announcer after he retired from football? Reggie White, so popular, strong Christian, incredible Christian. And he said publicly, and they used this to can him, to cancel his broadcast career, he said that homosexuals were sinners or whatever. And now he passed on. He's with the Lord, and he is a hero. And Sarah White was interviewed on a national news show. They asked her, they wanted to manipulate her, and they said, so, Mrs. White, Sarah White, why do you think your husband was fired? And they wanted to embarrass her into admitting that her husband was a bigot, right? And so her response on national TV turned her into my instant hero. She said, they said, so, Mrs. White, why do you think your husband was fired? She said, because they caved into the sodomite agenda. And I thought, that's a preacher's wife? That's Reggie White's wife? Anyway, she was there at this meeting in Chicago, Council for National Policy. And she was the bright spot in the otherwise darkened hall. She was the bright spot. She was a hero. But other than that, you can sum it all up by describing it this way. How far could we compromise on God's principles? How far do we have to go and ensure a political victory? That's what it's all about. That's what it was all about. That's what it was all about. And here we are years later, and we're reaping the consequence. I was on the air in 1994 when the Republicans won their landslide victory, took over the House. The freshmen in the House of Representatives, our listeners were so excited. And I came on the air. I was probably the only conservative Christian on the air in the nation who came on the air the next day, Wednesday, and said, you guys are celebrating? This is a time to mourn, because in 2 years from now, that would be 1996, we will look back and see that the laws passed by the House of Representatives were more evil than the laws that they've passed in the last 10 years. And now we have the benefit of 10 years hindsight. They were more evil. The nation didn't get better. It got worse morally. And this is what's happening. I'm not saying we shouldn't be involved in politics. I'm not saying don't vote Republican. I'm saying that we're all having the wool pulled over our eyes. We've got wolves in sheep's clothing, and we all bah, bah, and go in line to the voting booth, and we pull the levers for the wolves. And we like it as we do it. And then we say, do it to us again. Do it to us again. So it's frustrating, but Reggie White, he's a hero. Hey, by the way, I've announced, and I know this is only for local listeners in Colorado, but if you're listening out of state, you got to rent this DVD, Facing the Giants. It is so great. We have a commercial. There's going to be a local showing for Facing the Giants. Let's hear that spot again.
You loved it in the theater or heard about it in the media. Facing the Giants, the film that inspired millions of moviegoers to never give up and never back down.
We need to give God our best in every area. And if we win, we praise Him. And if we lose, we praise Him.
And never lose faith.
For the rest of your life, you will remember today. I want you to remember that you held nothing back. You did not lose heart. You did not stop fighting. You did not quit.
Experience this incredible movie all over again, or for the first time, and believe.
I can't believe what I just seen. I cannot believe what I just seen.
Now you can see this remarkable movie at a special showing in your city. Here's the announcer with details.
Come to Maranatha Christian Center Friday, March 16th for a 7 p.m. showtime for Facing the Giants. There's no admission charge, so we'll see you at Maranatha in Arvada at 72nd and Oak, March 16th at 7 p.m. That's exciting. A week from Friday, 7 o'clock showtime. I'll be there. Our family will be there. What a great, great movie. And they see 800 people. So I'd recommend coming a bit early before 7 to get a good seat, and what a good time that will be. What a movie. Wow. And if you heard the show yesterday, you heard about the revival that's been going on among the students at Maranatha with kids. The student body from grades 7 through 12 watched this movie together, and then staff members began to give their testimony. Students began to give testimonies. One student went up on stage, gave his testimony, urged. He said, I know there are some of you who have never trusted the Lord. If you want God to forgive you, have salvation through Jesus Christ, please come up here on stage right now. And kids went up to the stage. And they continued. That has continued with kids going to the football coach, going to a school leader, and saying, you know what? I've never trusted in Christ. I'd like to become a Christian. So exciting. And God has given us the ability to write music, write books, create plays, movies, to glorify him. And this movie does it. So we're talking about Reggie White, what a hero he was. Well, this football movie, Facing the Giants, you got to check it out. It's just so great. Okay. Now, in Indianapolis, that's one of our biggest cities for Friends of Bob and Yurt Live. That's where this Warren Township school has had these sixth graders in class with the teacher in the classroom, sixth graders having sex with other students watching. And then the attorney for the Department of Education, the Indiana Department of Education, Kevin McDowell, he's saying, hey, look, here, let me, you want to get angry? He says, look, this doesn't pose any danger to the other students, even if they did see it happening. He said, all right, so they may have witnessed this. The school tries to minimize how many kids were watching these two kids having sex. And so he said, all right, so they may have witnessed this. While this is an activity you certainly don't see in a school, unless it's a public school, and it's something that would be certainly unusual, I don't know where it posed any immediate danger to those children who saw it, said the attorney for the State Department of Education. This is according to Channel 13 News there in Indianapolis. How's that? Huh. Our website's kgov.com, and the school is Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada.